There's a worldview war going on right now. One radio program gives you full frontline coverage. It's Generations, and here's your host, Kevin Swanson.
Welcome to Generations, friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators of Colorado, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five. So is Dave Buhner in studio with me today. And both fathers of five, concerned about our children, wanting to raise our children for the next generation with a vision for something better, bringing a biblical worldview to every area of life. That's the agenda, folks. We're open with it. No secret here. That's what we're after, and we want to plant this vision in the hearts, minds, and lives of our children and hopefully yield something for the kingdom of God in the next generation. But, you know, Dave, it happened again. I got a call yesterday. Again, a friend called me, social services at the door, Dave. At the door. You know the gig. You haven't been through it yourself, but you've heard a hundred of these stories if you've heard one of them. This guy, good guy. Good, solid family, public school teacher, happens to homeschool. But, of course, Dave, you know what it is. It's the anonymous tip. Millions upon millions of anonymous tips being phoned into social service agencies all over America. Anonymous tips. You're never faced with your accuser. No, no, no. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen in this particular area of jurisprudence. Another anonymous tip, and this guy's locked into some kind of a social services investigation. We're praying. We got the whole church praying for him now as he walks through this thing. He handles it rightly, and hopefully this whole thing dissipates quickly. But, Dave, a scary thing for families. Yeah, this scary thing happens to a lot of friends. I know. In fact, we were a couple of guys at an engineering company. Would have been about 10 years ago. I was a manager at an engineering company. We're all sitting around the cafeteria table. There's about six or seven engineers, these professional guys. Every single one of these guys sitting around, these random professional guys sitting around the table, every single one of them knew somebody had been victimized by the social services. They knew somebody, or they themselves had been investigated by social services because, you know, their kid had fallen off the swing set and broke his leg, and they took him into the doctor's office, and, you know, the doctor says, you've been abusing this kid, you know. I mean, it just, they suspect you. From the moment you walk into these medical offices, these doctors have been trained carefully to suspect you. This is very Orwellian. You know, always assuming that you have broken the law at some point and, you know, you're guilty until proven innocent.
I think that's exactly right. The SS, as I like to call them, or the Gestapo, the child Gestapo in this nation, is beyond the law. Now, most law officers have to be under the law. You remember in Colorado, there was a law that was proposed that the social service, the child protective service agents, would have to have a course in what the Constitution says. And it was defeated. It was vociferously fought against. Why would they want to know the Constitution? They're beyond the Constitution. They don't need to have probable cause. You're not innocent till proven guilty. In fact, they're pretty sure, Kevin, that you're abusing your child.
Of course you're abusing your children.
You just haven't got caught yet.
You're a parent, right? You're a parent, right? Of course you're abusing your children. Give me a break. That's the worldview they're getting. Ladies and gentlemen, the most out-of-control, tyrannical organization in America is not the IRS. I think a lot of people think it's that. It's the SS. Of course it's the SS. It's the social services. Now, these organizations are filled with, the well-meaning hell is paved with good intentions, fresh out of college little bureaucrats who know very little about jurisprudence, common law, constitutional law, family law. They've had never, for the most part, these 23-year-old kids haven't had any experience in pastoral counseling in the area of marriage and family issues. They're unable to read evidence, discern hearts with the experience of wisdom. Most of them carefully indoctrinated in the feminist, pro-Marxist, platonic view of the family they get in the average college in America. And, you know, the state owns the family and all that garbage. Bottom line, my friends, these guys are tyrannizing millions upon millions of parents. And we're not just, I mean, think about the parents that are concerned that one day their neighbors will turn them in. How Orwellian can you get, Dave? Remember George Orwell's 1984, where their neighbors were always turning each other in? Even the children would turn the parents in. And eventually everybody was guilty. Eventually everyone was persecuted by the state because that was the whole idea.
Social services is worse than the IRS, not just in how they act, but what they can affect. The IRS can separate you from your money. That's bad enough. That's private property abuse. The SS separates you from your children. It actually takes your children away before you're proven guilty of anything, on the assumption that you're guilty, they will remove children from their parents while the investigation's going on.
And we're not questioning the intentions of these people, my friend. Hell is paved with good intentions. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And these guys have the greatest of intentions, but the point of the matter is they're not playing by the rules of the Constitution. They're not interested in what the Bible has to say about family law. And in the end, of course, people's freedoms are going to be tyrannized in the effort to purge this world of every possible minute potential problem. That we might have with child abuse. And Dave, of course, that's the pretense of the whole thing. We're just trying to 18 child abuse cases happening in one particular city. Well, what do? You investigate 100,000 parents in order to pull out those 18. Yeah, you tyrannize as many people as possible, hundreds of thousands if possible, in order to identify the problem 18.
Well, it's a way governments solve problems or attempt to solve problems. You had some hijackers take a plane into some buildings a few years ago, and now everybody at the airport gets investigated. Everybody is treated as if they were a terrorist. It doesn't matter. If your grandma with a walker, you're going to get the same investigation as the guy with the beard and the turban on his head carrying the Quran. It's the very same thing. So that's the way governments solve problems, or I guess that's the way governments throw gasoline on fire.
They use very large mallets to solve the problem, in the process tyrannize millions upon millions of folks. And by the way, folks, we're going to talk a little bit about the New American Magazine article, front page article in the New American Magazine, which I like quite a bit. They often bring out some very important issues that are affecting Americans today. They talk about the new SS, the social services. In the tiny state of Massachusetts, this one actually focuses on the state of Massachusetts, thousands of social workers oversee more than 40,000 cases per year. State keeps 10,000 children in custody at one time. Children are heavily drugged, placed in special education classes that move through the foster care system. Big nonprofit companies have arisen now to service the insatiable demands for warehousing children and providing therapy, et cetera, et cetera. All these subcontractors are given money from the state and the federal government. They're just hooked up to the big dollars. These aren't charitable organizations, don't get me wrong. They're motivated because they get as many dollars as possible from the Fed and the states just because, you know, they call themselves charitable organizations, but they're certainly receiving a lot of dollars, a lot of support from the government. Remember, these social service organizations also get huge federal reimbursements when they can remove a child from the home. So they're very much motivated to get that child out of that home, because when they can qualify a child for their machine called the foster care system, that federal government that has, you know, trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars to feed into all these systems can continue to write the big checks, and that's what they like. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we're going to talk about more recent cases of social services abuses. That next on Generations, and what you can do when you are investigated by social services. This is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Back on Generations, friends, Kevin Swanson here, also Dave Buhner. A couple of dads care about their kids, would rather not lose them to a government bureaucracy. And there are a lot of families where this sort of thing is happening. And this article from the New American brings out some actual real cases. The attorney that wrote the article obviously focuses on family practice law and is working these cases constantly. I know guys in Colorado that do the same thing, Dave, and they're just about as fed up and horrified with the system as this guy wrote the article in the New American. So it's not unusual. I mean, I know good men, good attorneys that are fighting these battles all the time. Of course, we've had Chris Klicka, Scott Somerville, some of the HSLDI guys on the air before talking about the very same things. So these are solid attorneys, Christian attorneys, that are doing everything they possibly can to defend poor families. They're terribly victimized by those who have the best of intentions, the motivations that pave the road to hell. Okay, case number one mentioned in this particular article is the Tranberg family. Here's what happened, Dave. They take their daughter to a hospital. She's got a calcium deficiency. One of the resident doctors says one thing, the other resident doctor says another. They turn to the second resident doctor and say, you know, I think I really need to check out a second opinion on this. Well, that was a big mistake. You never say that to a doctor. Why? Huge ego problem, obviously, in this case. And this doctor snapped at them that she was going to get a restraining order and then turn them into the Massachusetts Department of Social Services.
And then the next day, the father actually obtains an appointment with their pediatrician, but it was too late. 36 hours after leaving the hospital, several carloads of armed police show up with half a dozen DSS agents. They grab the kids without a warrant, I might add. So no warrant, of course. Why would you need a warrant for this sort of thing? No, they grabbed the kids, and DSS had lied to the police, of course, by claiming that there had been injuries from child abuse and sexual abuse and all the other things. And none of that occurred in this case, and it was eventually, all that was gone, even during the court hearings. But their five children have been gone since February 23rd, 2007, including a 12-day-old baby. Okay, so they pull out all five kids, including their 12-year-old baby. They locked four of the five kids in the hospital on 24-hour guard for 5 weeks. Imagine how expensive that was, Dave. In a hospital for 5 weeks.
It wouldn't have been cheaper just to get some calcium pills?
Yeah. Please understand, folks, these parents are not accused of substance abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, any of that. They live in an expensive, spacious apartment in an upscale Boston suburb, average, ordinary family. And, Dave, this brings up an interesting point. There's a lot of parents listening right now saying, this would never happen to me. I'm sure this is some disadvantaged, messed up family somewhere with a substance abuse problem, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, it can happen to anybody. Listen to me. It can happen to anybody. It can happen on an anonymous tip. 3.3 million anonymous tips every year wind up running through these social services organizations, and they, of course, they filter out some percentage of them. I think some 30% are filtered out, but the rest of them they act upon, and the end result is, boy, a lot of hassle for a lot of parents. In this case, boy, they've been without their kids for 4 or 5 months.
And if you have an anonymous tip, that means that anybody can tip. So if you're a social service agent, your friend, the social service agent, can make that tip.
Oh, absolutely.
Or your neighbor. There has to be no substantiation. You now have the club to scare all of your neighbors. You know, either you take your fence down or I'm calling social services.
Dave, and any grudge whatsoever. And this is why it's so important. HSLDA will tell you that you better be in good relations with your neighbor, because anybody, any relative, anybody who has any little tiny grudge with you, maybe your dogs were barking one night and really ticked him off, so he just figured, I'm going to get even with him. Here goes an anonymous tip. He calls from a payphone, and the rest is history. You're in trouble for the next 6 months. You could lose your kids for years. Here's an example. The Howard family lost their three children in October of 1999 because of a messy home. Turns out the dad was remodeling the kitchen, had all the cabinets down, and his 23-year-old or whatever a social service agent came through, said, I've never seen a kitchen this messed up before. Well, Dave, you know, our dining room right now is sort of a mess because we're repainting it and doing some tape and texture. And, you know, hey, it was a mess the day they showed up. And their newborn baby, they died in the hospital on her first birthday all alone without her parents because they were prohibited from even visiting their newborn baby. Their two boys, Chris and Ethan, are still kept at a foster home where Ethan is consistently abused. He's got broken arm, bruises, wounds on his face, and so forth.
But the kitchen's clean.
But the kitchen's clean, right. The foster care system is this horrific, horrific system as well, where, of course... You know, how in the world are these people going to love your children any more than you do? And, you know, granted there are some good foster homes out there, but bottom line here, folks, we got a system here that's out of control. Here's another case. Henson family persecuted by the CPS in Wisconsin. Apparently the mom had spanked her disobedient 10-year-old with her hand, so they took her four school-aged kids from the school and lifted the two toddlers. She was jailed for 4 months. Eventually the children were returned home. But at that point, they had exhibited signs of sexual abuse from the foster care system. So you've got, you know, case after case after case from this particular attorney in Massachusetts. And here, quote from this attorney, at court hearings, the parents usually cannot speak. The children are almost never heard or considered. Hearings often last only a few minutes or even seconds. Now, this is his experience. Maybe there are some judges out there that are doing a better job than this particular fellow sees. But I want to ask the question here. Where is the biblical evidence required for a civil trial? Ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to what the Bible says about this, and that's what we do on this program. We say, what's the biblical worldview relating to issues of family law? And the Word of God is clear. You've got to have your true three witnesses. You have to have corroboration. Otherwise, you cannot establish proof. And yet... In these cases where children are removed forcibly from their parents' homes, Dave, the preponderance of evidence required is weak and ill-defined as a standard. Even a speeding ticket requires the test of beyond a reasonable doubt, and the beyond a reasonable doubt test is not applied to cases where children are removed from their parents.
I don't know. How do we solve problems like this? Well, I think, number one, let's get back to the Word of God. There are not enough pastors, there are not enough parents, there are enough people actually studying God's Word and saying, what does God's Word have to say about this? And the Word of God is very, very clear. You don't remove a child upon some anonymous tip. You don't remove a child even based upon a bruise or two. You don't remove a child based upon the testimony of one particular person. Dave, I think the average social services said, if you spank your child even one little tap on the behind, you're an abusive parent. I have a feeling the average social service agent, granted there may be some Christians out there trying to do some good things, but the average social services person out there is somebody who just does not believe in what the Word of God has to say about raising children. They're not quoting Proverbs. My guess is they're not quoting Proverbs. They didn't even study it in their social services course at their four-year university.
No, I think social services, by and large, just a generalization here, is a self-selected group of people who like to be state nannies. They may have been, and I think a large number of them have been abused by their parents, and so they are hypersensitive to any kind of abuse. They believe that the state interest of the children exceeds that and is more important than that of the family interest. When parents get divorced and there's a battle, a custody battle over the children, you always know that in the custody battle, there's always that wild card. They're an abusive parent, and it works so often that the system encourages this kind of abuse. Yes, we need substantial, very substantial policy changes, but at the micro level, you got to be friends with your neighbor. You got to have legal protection. This morning, I put my brand new HSLDA membership card into my wallet, and it was on top of the last 4 years of HSLDA memberships. I wouldn't think, even in a safe county like El Paso County, which is reasonably safe, I wouldn't even think of homeschooling without that.
Yeah, and folks, we're talking about Homeschool Legal Defense Association when we say HSLDA, and these are attorneys that make it a practice. They got six or seven attorneys that round the clock are working on social services issues all over America, and with a membership, if you're ever subjected to an investigation like this, and if you're homeschooling, obviously this is for home educators, you can call up that attorney, 724s, and say, hey, I've got somebody at the door. I need help to walk through this thing. Because I can't do this on my own. So I highly recommend a Homeschool Legal Defense Association membership. And of course, for more information on that, hslda.org on the web. But in terms of reforms, Dave, number one, worldview. Remember the judge, the family judge in Pueblo, who was testifying at the legislature, it was a year or two ago. And the last thing he said when he's talking about the compulsory attendance law was, the children in Colorado belong to us. Colorado's children belong to us. These guys really believe that the children belong to the state. They don't belong to the family, and they certainly don't belong to God, who obviously is in charge of what happens jurisdiction-wise with our children. Number two, we've got to require traditional due process before taking that child out of the home. Biblically, you've got to have two or three witnesses, real and solid corroboration, never just an anonymous tip. On one person's witness or whatever, you need to be faced with your accusers. You have to know who they are. They have to give their name, and they have to come to the trial and face you with it. And a single witness is never, never sufficient to establish a case. You've got to have two or three witnesses. This is basic for jurisprudence. And judges in America, juries in America need to absolutely require multiple witnesses before establishing the truth of a case. Okay, secondly, remove federal funding of child protective agencies now, because it's that federal funding that continues to motivate these guys to create cases and create cases and create cases. So remove all federal funding from child protective agencies right now, as soon as possible. Thirdly, set objective standards for child abuse, and I think the Word of God brings that out very, very clearly. Exodus 21 would be one area where you can look for that. But there's certainly lots the Word of God has to say about establishing objective standards for child abuse. Bottom line, if there is a parent out there burning their child, if there's a parent out there abusing their child sexually, et cetera, The Bible is very clear. That kind of stuff gets punished, and it gets punished severely.
And you think about the current state where even if somebody is found guilty, the legal remedy makes the child a victim twice. They remove them from a bad situation. They put them into a worse situation. Or maybe they remove them from a situation that wasn't bad. The parent in Wisconsin was spanking his child, trying to bring a child up nurture and discipline of the Lord, perhaps. And then they become a sexual abused victim in a foster home. The remedy can never be worse than the current situation. It must be clearly defined. And, you know, the judges ought to be extraordinarily reticent to remove a child from his birth parents.
Again, folks, I would encourage you to contact HSLDA.org for a great list of things to do and things not to do if you're ever subjected to a social services investigation. Let me give you just a few pointers that come from that website. Go to HSLDA.org for more information on this. Always get the business card of the social worker in case you or an attorney representing you wish to contact that social worker. Find out the allegations. Do not fall for the frequently used tactic of the social worker who would tell the unsuspecting victim that they can only give you the allegations after they have come into your home. You do not have to let the social worker into your home without a warrant or court order unless there is a true emergency in your home. Tell the official that you will call back after you speak with your attorney or call your attorney right away. Ignore intimidations. Normally, social workers are trained to bluff. They will routinely threaten to acquire a court order, knowing full well there's no evidence on which to secure an order. Offer to give the officials the following supporting evidence: a statement from your doctor after he has examined your children, references from individuals who can vouch for your being good parents, evidence of the legality of your homeschool program. Also, you might bring a tape recorder and or witnesses to any subsequent meeting. Inform your church. Get some prayer chain going on that issue. Also, avoid potential situations which could lead to a child welfare investigation. That is, be on good terms with your neighbors. Don't spank your children in public. Do not spank someone else's child unless they're very close Christian friends, and avoid leaving young children at the home alone or in an automobile. Boy, that one's important as well. I know a lot of people who wound up just leaving their kids in the car for 5 minutes as they ran into Safeway and got in trouble that way. Well, very important stuff to hopefully protect you from unwanted and unwarranted social services investigations. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to Generations, and you can interact with our program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.